Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Now, what we're going to notice in 60 and some of the other following chapters is now we've moved from a state of attacks upon Israel, a state of Israel's failures, and it will be mentioned periodically, but now what you're going to see is that God is directing Isaiah to write about the millennial kingdom. He's writing about the millennial kingdom. That's been hinted to in the past, where the lion and the lamb, they lie down together, and a child can play with a cobra and not be bit or not be harmed. But now we're going to see some of the promises that Christ has made for Israel and for the Gentile nations. And what's of interest to me is that God always keeps His promises, and Israel will finally be the nation that God intended it to be. It's going to be the nation, and it's going to be the people that God has planned it to be all along. For example, in chapter 61, God talks about the nation of Israel being priests and ministers. Priests and ministers. That is what God intended of them way back in the time of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then when they were coming out of Egypt 400 years later, what happened? The nation that is supposed to be priests as unto the Lord, where the oldest child holds a family priesthood position, they kind of messed up and they started worshiping the golden calf. What a problem. So God then took the Levites, which were far from perfect, and started using them. So here now we see the fact that God is going to transform the heart of these people, transform the nation, and thus the world's going to be blessed through Abraham. Not just with the Messiah sitting on the throne, but redeemed people ministering throughout the world for Him. Let's go to chapter 60 of Isaiah. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen above thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. So we have a time of darkness in Isaiah 60, a time of darkness, and then God's going to reveal Himself. This fits in very well with our understanding of dispensations and the millennial kingdom and the tribulation coming first. So God's going to do something. Verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Wow, the Gentiles, which have been grafted in to Christ, to the Messiah, and grafted into Israel, now are going to come to Israel for light. They're going to come for light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. In other words, the day will come when the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, will stand forth for God, stand fast for Him. They will shine as God intended. They will be lights unto the world. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because, and fear means reverence here, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. In other words, the scriptures are teaching that the Gentile world, which is often referred to as the people of the sea, the nations, they will come to Israel, and they will be supporting Israel. They're not coming for war. They're coming to support the nation. They're coming to care for the nation. They're coming to learn from God's people, because God's people will have the relationship with God that was intended all along. Now, this begins in the tribulation with the salvation of the 144,000 Jewish men. Now, there will be women that are saved as well. Somebody once said to me, well, are they the only ones that are saved? And I said, that would be very difficult to populate the millennial kingdom if we don't have women saved as well. And you will see women that are saved. And these These people will be the seed that starts the millennial kingdom population-wise, along with Gentiles that survived the tribulation, but they will come to the Messiah. They will turn to the Messiah. This is a fulfillment of a prophecy that goes all the way back to Abraham. All the way back to Abraham. And we have yet to see it fulfilled. We have yet to see it fulfilled. So I know God keeps His promises. Some people say, well, how can you be sure of this? Because God keeps His promises. This is one promise He's never fulfilled. So it's going to happen. The question is when? Well, I doubt it's going to happen next year. It doesn't matter who you elect as president. It's not going to change the hearts of Israel's enemies. It may stop them for a while, but, you know, hey, if we attack, then we're going to have people after us. It may slow them down, but in the millennial kingdom, the hearts of Israel's enemies will be transformed. And he keeps mentioning this. This hasn't happened yet. This has not happened yet. In fact, if you go to Israel, and I've never been there myself, although I have, you know, you can, it's funny, you can actually go to Israel via camera and go to the Temple Mount, go to different areas via cameras that are there, on the internet, and you'll notice that about on every single corner there's an armed guard. Why are there armed guards there? Do they expect something bad to happen? No, they show a presence, and that presence keeps the trouble at bay. I had a friend that often went to Israel, had gone to Israel 27 times, and he said to me, all the bad stuff starts at 3 o'clock. And I said to him, why 3 o'clock? Like 3 in the morning? He goes, no. It's when the kids get out of school. They're the ones that are dumb enough to throw the rocks at the police. So when they get out of school, that's when these little skirmishes occur and the police shoot rubber bullets and take the kids off to the hospital or to detention or wherever, and then they go off for the next day. Now, there are real attacks and real problems as well, but this is going to end. This will stop. A couple of years ago, Israel had over 6,000 rockets shot into their territory from the borders. 6,000 rockets. And some of them actually hit people and killed people. The good news is the PLO actually were bad at making rockets. They couldn't hit much. The good news is, the bad news is, they fired 6,000 rockets. You know, they did hit something, schools and synagogues and some homes, and people were hurt. They blew up buses. That's going to end. A Jewish man once said that you kiss your children goodbye every morning, thinking it may be the last time you see them. Then you go off to work. And you do this because this is what you need to do to show the enemy you're not afraid. And that's going to end. There will be peace in the Middle East when the Prince of Peace comes and sets up his throne. And it's not peace at the end of a rifle. It's not peace with the threat of war. The Prince of Peace will rule with a rod of iron. He will deal with the wicked, and insurrections as such will end, and there will be peace in Palestine. And it's because Christ is on the throne. Notice there's also prosperity as a result of the Prince of Peace coming. Verse 6, the multitude of camels shall cover thee. In other words, there's going to be a lot of dromedaries and camels and people carrying in goods. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. Sheba is down in the area of Midianites or south. The Sheba would be from the area of Saudi Arabia. Well, They're having peace now. Peace. Something has changed. They shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. They're going to be friends, not enemies. They're going to be friends, not enemies. There's only one person that can do that, and that is the Christ. He is the only one that can transform the heart. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee, and the rams of Nebaioth, and it shall minister unto thee, and they shall come up with acceptance of mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. God's going to glorify his people. Who are these that fly as a cloud, as the dove to their windows? Surely the island shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish shall first to bring thy sons from afar, their silver, their gold with them. And Jewish people will be gathering from around the world back to Israel, and not out of fear. Bibi Netanyahu recently came out and said, if you live in France, come back home to Israel. You're not wanted there. If you live in parts of Germany, you're not wanted there. Come back home. Come back home to Israel. We have a place for you. Well, in the future, they're going to be coming back home because that's where the Messiah is at. And they will be servants of the Messiah. No longer are they coming because they're not wanted in different places. So their silver and their gold with them unto the name of the Lord thy God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. God is there, the Holy One of Israel. You know, the high priest used to have a mitre or a hat that he would wear, and it would say holiness to the Lord on his hat. And it wasn't enough that he knew he was supposed to be holy. That's what it read. It was the first baseball cap with a sign on it. All right. And this one, live for God. That's really what it was saying. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor I have had mercy on thee. You know what God did? God dealt harshly with the people of Israel, harshly with the Jewish people for their sins. But now he's rewarding them. He's blessing them. He's showing glory again. He's showing favor. And the sons of the Gentiles are the ones that are going to come in and build up their walls and build up their fields and their kings. The leaders from around the world are going to go there, and they're going to be servants of Israel. Now, I realize in some circles what I'm saying isn't very popular, but this is what the scriptures are saying. God has made these promises all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he intends to keep them. Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually. Well, why would you ever leave your gates? Why would you ever leave your car unlocked, your house unlocked? Why would you do that? Because you have no fear of anybody breaking in. They no longer need a walled city for protection. They have the king. They have the Messiah. No one would dare fight against them. They shall not be shut day or night, day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles. That is the wealth, the strength, the power of the Gentiles. They're not coming as an invasion. They're coming for support. And that their kings may be brought. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Nations who stand in opposition to the Lord will not survive. They will be but a memory. This is God's promise. As of this time, many nations rise up against the nation of Israel. You know, we even have politicians in America that are totally against Israel, and they're Jewish. I don't understand this. There are groups of Jewish people that don't think Israel should have the land that they do. I don't understand this. I heard a rabbi once say, this land was promised to Abraham. It was promised to Isaac. It was promised to Jacob. It was promised to David. And it is our land. It is. It is. It belongs to them. It is their land. Now, I want you to understand, looking at this from a dispensational perspective, as Christians, God has never promised us a plot of land in Palestine. I want you to understand that. There is a distinction between Israel and the church. Some people would say, well, we get all their blessings. No, we don't. There are different blessings for us than for the nation of Israel. We are not going to inherit the land of Palestine. We are not in the same situation there. Yes, we have blessings, present and future, for the church, for believers, for Christians. However, God has a different path for them, and He's making promises. He made promises to Abraham that will go directly to Israel and not us, and to others that support Israel at that time. We get to kind of have the benefits of some of those things. The glory of Lebanon, that's north of Israel, shall come unto thee. Israel, or Lebanon, was well known for the woods and for trees and lumber. The fir tree, the pine tree, the box tree, the box together to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Wherever the Lord is, that's where His kingdom is. Wherever the Lord is, He will beautify that. When He touches down on the earth, the very mountains of Israel will split, and God will make a highway from Syria in the north. Syria has a problem with Israel right now. That's going to end. And there will be a highway from Syria all the way down and to Jerusalem, and from Egypt all the way up. In fact, in portions of the scripture, it's almost as if Egypt becomes one of the tribes of Israel, added in there because of all the way back to Abraham and Sarah and the relationship they had with the Egyptians. So God is going to be working in the hearts of people. Thy sons, or the sons also of them that afflicted thee, the enemies, former sons of the enemies of Israel, shall come bending unto thee. Verse 14, and they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Now, if you say that in certain circles, those are fighting words right at the moment. You're going to be worshiping the God of Israel. You're going to be bowing down to the Israelites and helping Israel. Why, those are words that would be a curse to some. Only God can change the heart. Only God can change the heart. Only God. And first He's got to change the heart of the Jewish people, and then He's going to change the heart of the nations around them, around Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee. So Israel's been hated for centuries. I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Although the world has hated you, I will elevate you, and I will make a difference in your life. I will elevate you. That's what He's saying. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles. In other words, the Gentiles are going to be sending their wealth there and making deals with the nation of Israel and building them up. And shalt suck the breast of kings, and shalt know that I am the Lord, or that I the Lord am the Savior and thy Redeemer and the Mighty One of Jacob. Again, God keeps His promises. I am the one that's going to do this. I am Jehovah God. Right now, there's a lot of confusion on this. God will reveal Himself. For brass, I will bring gold. In other words, gold will be as common as brass in those days. And for iron, I will bring silver. Silver will be as common as iron. And for wood, brass. And for stones, iron. So for wood, He's going to use brass, and for stones, He's going to use iron. God's going to transform that nation. And and I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Their judges are going to judge in righteousness. The people that enforce the law will be righteous and just, won't be taking bribes. They will be fair. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land. You know, I was offered a trip one time to consider going to Israel, and I kind of was concerned. Will it be safe? Would I want to bring my whole family? But in the future, that's not even going to be a concern. that's not even going to be a concern. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land. No one's going to need a gun. You know, the little machine gun that everybody carries, the Uzi, it literally in Hebrew means my little helper. You won't need a little helper anymore. You'll be saying to the kids, be my little helper, not a machine gun. So violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. You see, now they're experiencing peace. Now they're experiencing the promised joy of God. But what had to take place first? Repentance. As a nation, they had to turn to God. This will happen in the tribulation as God wakes up 144,000 evangelists. They will wake up and it's like, you mean we missed this all along? Just like the Apostle Paul had to get knocked off this donkey or horse, and then he was finally there saying, okay, Lord, you know, why are you persecuting me? I'm not persecuting you. Yes, you have been. Then he was waking up to all these things and had to rethink his theology and became on fire for God. This will happen to the nation. This will happen. They will meet God and live for God and be just as passionate about God, the God of the Scriptures, as they are about tradition, if not more so. The sun shall, and this is a great passage here, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. You won't have to worry about the sun or the moon. Why? But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The presence of God will be your light. The presence of God will be your glory, day and night. Wow! What a tremendous thing. We even as Christians don't experience this. And that closeness that he said, God is going to be that one that is so close. You can't get away from him. It's like the sunlight. He's there all the time. And he's reflecting like the moon at night. His presence. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. This is not going to change. It's going to be a constant, his presence. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. In the days of thy mourning shall be ended. They're no longer going to be wailing and crying at cemeteries. They're no longer going to bewail the fact that nations have attacked them, have killed their children, have destroyed their homes. This will end for once and for all as the Savior sits on the throne. Thy people also shall be all righteous. You get that? Everybody there is going to be righteous. They're going to all be saved. They will all respond to the gospel. They will all be righteous. You know, there's a lot of churches that can't even say that. What's so-and-so going to do this time? You know, but here, a nation will have righteousness that is on the throne and that is among the people. They shall inherit the land forever. This is a key promise. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. All to glorify God. A little one shall become 1,000. Oh, he's just a kid. He's only 1,000. He's just a kid. A little one shall become 1,000, and the small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Wow. This is what he's telling us the future holds. This is what he's saying to us that he will do. And it gets to the point that the Spirit of the Lord is controlling everything in a positive way rather than the spirit of the devil. Remember, during the millennial kingdom, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. So you don't have to worry about the devil. And the world system isn't going to be working against you anymore. So all you're left with is your flesh. And the Lord is helping your spirit and your flesh. So people will be living for God as never before. They will be doing that which is right. I think there's going to be a lot of businesses and industry out of work. You won't need armies. You won't need navies. You won't need air forces anymore. You won't have to worry about police officers. Probably you won't even need hospitals or surgery centers or any of these places. So you won't need nurses or doctors. I mean, think about it. Wow. You won't need, you won't have to worry about certain government officials taking advantage of their job. You won't have to have a court system. The only court system really is that of Christ, and He's the supreme judge. Maybe some will have to make decisions, but I don't think that the wheels of justice will turn so slowly as they do now. So all of these things, and sometimes judges and court systems make mistakes. That won't be the case in the future. So there, all of this is going to change. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now this is talking about Christ and what He will do. The fact that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound. This is what Jesus is going to do, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. This is what He does in the second coming. He will exact the right vengeance. He will set up justice in His time, in the acceptable time of the Lord, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil for joy, for mourning, the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. He's going to erase the sorrow that life has brought. He's going to bring in joy. He's going to redeem and build up all that was taken. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. Who can make right the damage done generations ago? God can. He's the only one that can repair the damage that was done by the Nazis, or the damage that was done by certain groups throughout the centuries. He's the one that can repair these damages. I mean, there are people still fighting museums today with works of art that were taken by the Nazis, and they're not giving it back to the families. And what's happening here in the future, God will make things right. The stranger shall stand and feed your flocks. They're going to be doing your work. The Gentiles, the sons of the alien, shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named for the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentile. In their glory shall ye boast yourselves. This never happened. They will be the nation of priests that God intended. For your shame shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in the land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. In other words, for all the sorrow you experienced, God's going to give you double the blessings. Just like Job, all the sorrow he went through, God's going to give you double. Double in the end. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. You know, there are people that steal from others and then make sacrifices to the Lord and say, this is acceptable. God says, no, it's not. No, it's not. And I will direct the work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to keep my promise. That's what he's saying. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, and they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. The world will know. Right now, many are saying, where is the God of Israel if he exists? they will know in the future that He is real. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as the bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as the bride adorneth herself with jewels. You know, they know they're going to be in a special place. They know that God is blessing. Now, we have some blessings now as believers where we can say, I have a special relationship with the Messiah, with Christ. But in the future, the world, the entire world will know this. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. This is the promise of God. This is the promise of God. This is what God has promised for the nation of Israel. And the Jewish people, as they respond to the call of salvation, this is his message. This is his message. Now, he does say early on, trials and tribulations are coming. But in the end, just like with Job, God will bless beyond belief. And we as Christians get to watch some of this take place. We as Christians in the future millennial kingdom get to be there and see these things. And we will rejoice as well, seeing God keeps his promises, just as he has to us. Promising never to leave us, promising never to forsake us, promising to protect us, to keep us, to help us, to guide us, to hear our requests, to be there to shed our burdens upon, to hold our hand when we're scared at night or when we face death. He is there for us now, and he promises, I'll be there for my people later. What a wonderful God we have. What a God we can trust. What a God we can lean upon. What a God we can praise. I mean, this, if nothing else, should help us to rejoice in Christmas, knowing that God, Almighty God, the second person of the Trinity, left heaven and set aside his full glory, not his deity, but his glory, and was born in a manger. You know, our little manger scene is cute and happy, but I've been in barns. There's a lot of other things in there besides animals. And it doesn't always smell nice. And it's not a place you want to have a baby. It's not a sterile environment. And yet, this is where our Savior was born, in the midst of depravity, so that he could deal with it, identify with mankind. You know, not many of us can say, oh, I just had such a bad childbirth, I was born in a barn. And yet he started out there, was mocked of men, scourged, disbelieved by his own brothers, his own half-brothers. And he died. People spit on him and mocked him and laughed at him. And then he arose from the grave in power. He is the one that provides salvation for us now and the nation of Israel later. He is God, the God of the Scriptures, who took on flesh that he might die for us, to be that Lamb of God that taketh away sin. We can rejoice, and we celebrate Christmas for that reason. Not that Christmas saves us, but the Savior has come. The Savior has come. What a difference that makes. What a praise that is. Lord, we ask that you might help us to rejoice. Help us to rejoice in you. Help us to rejoice in what you've done, in how you've worked, how you've accomplished so much in our lives now. And we look forward to the day that you will do even more with the nation of Israel in the future. In Christ's name, amen.